You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw and Customers Business Coaching, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Kyle Balweg of Clear Vision. Is it cleaning or window cleaning?
Cleaning.
Yep. Because you clean all kinds of stuff.
We do.
So how are you feeling today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, James.
You're ready to get grilled on the show here.
I'm ready to rock.
So tell me, it's Clear Vision Cleaning.
Yep.
How long have you been in business?
We have been in business since 2008.
Oh, wow. That's 10 years.
Yeah.
High five, man. You made a decade.
That's appreciate awesome. It. Yeah. You know, I guess it has been 10 years already.
You're like, what in the world?
Yeah.
I should know better.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. So did you start from scratch or how did that go?
I actually bought it from a classmate of mine down at UW-Whitewater.
Nice.
Through a mutual friend. I was introduced to him. He was a freshman as I was a sophomore.
Okay.
Had this small little window cleaning company called Clear Vision Window Cleaning.
Yeah.
And there was just something about, you know, I guess the timing and the opportunity I saw maybe to get in on the ground floor of an up and coming business. So that is kind of how I started in the window cleaning industry. Worked for him for a couple of years and ended up buying him out.
Okay.
When I was a sophomore in down at UW-Whitewater.
So did you buy into the company and then start working for him, or you were an employee before you bought?
Yeah, so I was an employee. And like I said, I knew what the opportunity was, or I knew what I wanted my opportunity to be.
Sure.
So I was employed with Clear Vision. And told him from the very beginning that I want to, my goal is to prove to you that I'm worthy of partnership someday.
Oh, wow.
So that's how that started. We were in partnership for a short period of time.
Sure. Talking like a year, a few months.
Yeah, about a year.
Okay.
And he ended up having some other opportunities or kind of wanted to take on some other opportunities. So I took advantage of that, and just ended up purchasing 100% of the business.
Wow. That's awesome. So at the time that you started with him, how many employees were there?
There was him and I,
Yeah.
And we had, one or two other of, people or his friends that would help him out. Like I said, he started this when he was in high school.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, there was just, it was... When I say it was a small business, it was a small business.
All right. So when you bought into it, was it the two of you or the four of you?
Yeah, it was basically the two of us.
Okay.
Running it. And, you know, with me stepping in, he needed less part-time help.
Sure.
As I filled more of a full-time role for him.
Okay. So how did you figure out the valuation of the business when you first bought it?
What we did is I went back and looked at, he was diligent about his bookkeeping.
Okay.
I went back and looked at his previous year or two, what he had for revenue.
Sure.
And we derived a valuation based off of previous year's annual revenue.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you
figure that some algorithm, I imagine, based on that.
Right.
And then he's a partner at that point, right?
Correct. Yep. So then I buy in 35%, if I remember correctly.
Gotcha. Okay.
At that point.
35. That's interesting. Did he choose that because he wanted to be the boss still?
You know, I can't remember why we came to that. To be honest with you, I didn't have a pot to piss in.
Okay.
I was a sophomore in college.
Sure.
So thankfully, my parents helped me out with a line of credit.
Sure.
And so there, I'd imagine there was a threshold of what I only wanted to get into a business at that point.
Sure.
You know, as a 19, 20-year-old,
right?
I didn't know, you know, how much I wanted to grab away.
Sure. So when you bought into that, you had no direct business experience, right? No, like you didn't own any other business before that?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
So family? Are they?
I have a, I would say a family of strong-minded people.
Okay.
All right. A lot of them being business owners.
Sure.
Or, you know, entrepreneurs, work their way into upper level management.
Okay.
Grew up on a dairy farm.
Okay.
In Dane, Wisconsin. So I got to work directly with that business owner
sure.
growing up. And so that was, okay. That being my father.
You were the free labor.
Yeah. So that was a crash course and,
sure.
keeping your head down and, you know, looking for opportunities and
gotcha.
Living, carving out the life, you know, that you want to live.
Sure. Sure. So at the time you're going to school in Whitewater, was the business based in Whitewater? Or was it based in Madison?
No, it was, so Jordan founded the company in Mount Horeb.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, it was based in Madison. Our residential clients primarily were in Mount Horeb.
Okay.
We started to back then get some traction in Madison with mm-hmm. commercial clientele.
Sure.
So yeah, we don't never really did and currently do not do any work in Whitewater.
Gotcha. Okay. So how did you, your intention was to grow the business from the start when you got in there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I thought this was my opportunity for my career.
Okay. Nice. And Jordan, as a partner, did that work well, the two of you together to grow or?
It, you know, speaking frankly,
best way.
Jordan and I have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a better relationship being it went down the way it did.
Sure.
Than if our partnership would have continued.
Okay.
We're two A-type personalities.
Okay.
With,
sure.
And always charging ahead.
Sure.
And so, it, you know, long term, I think when you have two people trying to be 1 foot ahead
right.
of, not that we're competing with one another.
Sure.
That's just our personality type.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need somebody if you're just blazing a path and you don't know
right.
what's all falling down behind you.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a partner or a support team, it's good to have, you know, I've found people that complement you in
sure.
that way.
Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. So did you then, I imagine some money had to exchange hands. Or
yep.
change hands
yep.
once you got to 100%.
Yep.
So same valuation system, or was this something set up when you first bought in that said that at some point, if you want 100%, this is how you buy out?
Today, I probably would have put that language
okay.
in there.
Okay.
Back then, we didn't. Money exchanged hands when I bought into the 35%.
Sure.
And then, like I said, it was maybe a year or so later
yeah.
That we made the decision, you know, for me to buy them out
mm-hmm.
the other 65%. So we just went based off of the valuation that we had when I first bought in 12 months
gotcha.
Prior.
Okay. So you weren't punished for growing the business.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
That's super cool.
Yep.
So then we're talking, that was essentially 9 years ago, give or take?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And now the business, how big are you now, employee-wise?
Well, we've, over the years, have acquired a couple different books of business.
Okay.
And have recently acquired another service company that is specializes in the cleaning industry, but not in the same sort of way that Clear Vision does.
Mm-hmm.
But between the two right now, we have about 35.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in 10 years, that's a huge growth.
Yeah. And the addition of the latest company that we acquired kind of jumped us up from the 18 to 20
sure.
to 35 mark.
Sure.
So yeah, the last 12 months have been, you know, every day has been a learning experience kind of
sure.
going from that, you know, that level to the
right.
next.
Right.
So
does that, how do, working with employees is always a challenge, you know, with my business, it's a challenge. Talking with other businesses, it's a challenge. I mean, they're people. So working with people in any capacity is a challenge.
Right.
So how have you dealt with that in regards to hiring and firing and just managing? I mean, 35, you got a healthy team now.
Yeah. I mean, I've, like I said, every day is a learning experience.
Sure.
I have asked for the opinions okay. of those who have maybe been there mm-hmm. or been through something like it or have managed those kind of numbers.
Sure.
But I mean, honestly, a lot of it has been trial and error.
Sure.
I don't want to use the word trial and error, but I've learned over the years that you need to put way more, or companies, businesses today are putting way more time, energy, and effort
mm-hmm.
into human resources
mm-hmm.
than ever before. And I'm only 31 years old, so that's
sure.
kind of a bold statement, but I believe that to right. probably be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so over the last couple of years, we started looking at a lot of different things that we can do with our team members.
Sure.
You know, company outing,
okay.
one or two company outings a year.
Sure.
We grill out once in a while at the sure. end of the day, sometimes get breakfast brought in
okay.
the morning, you know, unannounced.
Sure.
And I've learned to try to get out of my office more, when people come back at the end of the day.
Sure.
And take a walk out into the shop and not so much ask them about how their day went. That's somebody else's job.
Sure.
But ask them how they're doing.
Okay. Sure.
And it's a lot to keep track of, but
right.
I think, you know, everyone wants to feel appreciated.
Definitely.
And sometimes it takes more than a pat on the back saying, good job today. We'll
sure.
see you tomorrow.
Sure. Right.
So,
yeah, that's a big challenge, and maintaining the culture of a company is a challenge, and it sounds like you're doing the right thing by talking to people and letting them know that they're appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and you're never going to have the full thumb. You're never going to have your thumb exactly on how it's going.
Sure.
You should strive to.
Right.
But it's hard to get people to tell you how they're really feeling.
Right. Well, sometimes they're scared, right? Or they're
right.
they're probably apprehensive.
Exactly.
Like, why is my boss asking me?
Exactly. So if it's something you do on a consistent basis.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you come out and ask how they're doing, or you're
sure.
kind of, you're asking it in a way that you kind of are maybe working an angle to see what kind of answer you get back.
Sure.
But like you said, if you have those conversations on a more regular basis than your annual review.
Right.
Then it doesn't seem so out of place. So you
right.
get on a level with them where they're hopefully more susceptible to be open.
Sure.
To you.
More comfortable, and they're confident, and they trust you.
Right.
It's
exactly.
not just like, what's the end game? What's your goal kind of thing?
Exactly.
Trying
I mean,
to squeeze as much work out of me as you can.
Right. Right. And that kind of stuff is super important to
mm-hmm.
know, because if you're truly outgrowing a business
mm-hmm.
and adding to your team,
sure.
And if you want to continue to grow, having one or two key employees
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden walk out on you is a big setback.
Huge.
Is a setback that, you know, takes time, a little bit of time to recover from. We
mm-hmm.
all like to think, you know, next guy up, but have
right.
you prepared that next guy
right.
to step up?
Right.
And so you try to forecast,
mm-hmm.
you know, predict in the future how is everyone doing? You know, what is their truth?
Right.
About their work situation right now. Are they having fun? Is this a place that they enjoy coming into every day? Do they
right.
like who they work with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, huge, I think, enormously important in retaining
absolutely
staff. I mean, I kind of got on a little bit of a tangent there.
No, that's
and I realized we were talking more about retaining.
No, just employees overall, really, because even the hiring portion, that's a thing now. We got a really low unemployment rate.
Right.
And service businesses just in general are a challenge.
Yeah, we're hurting.
It doesn't seem to be like people are dreaming of washing windows or whatever when they're 9 years old,
right?
Right.
Exactly.
But in the end, not everybody can make six figures banging out code or running the country. I don't know, whatever it is
right.
other people
right.
do, right? So there seems to be a disconnect between what people are willing to do and what they should do, or I guess you could argue that all day long, but it's tough to find people.
Right, yep.
And then on top of finding someone that can just show up, now you got to find someone that fits in the culture, and we'll work with the other people, because I imagine you got teams of people going out, yep, and there has to be cooperation there.
Yep, absolutely.
So why don't you touch on that a little bit? Let's start with hiring.
Yeah, you know, I think that you touched on a couple of things. The unemployment rate is low right now, but I think the bigger thing that I look at is the education system.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, MATC here in mm-hmm. town is doing a fabulous job with their 2-year programs.
Sure.
You mentioned it when you were 9 years old, you probably weren't dreaming about being a window cleaner.
Sure. I didn't dream of printer repair either, but I ended up there. So.
But, you know, point being is what you dreamed about at 9 years old and what you were told at 9 years old and
sure.
10, 11, 12, 13, probably what you were told at 6 years old.
Right.
Go to school, pay attention, which is all stuff you should do,
right,
by the way.
Right.
But get good grades and go to college.
Right.
So that was my dream that I was, you know, sold.
Sure.
Or, you know,
fair.
That was
totally fair.
That was impressed upon me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So now I go to school and come out of school and might be very qualified for what I went to school for,
mm-hmm.
or very qualified to be a laborer.
Sure.
Or be any other, you know, profession or career. And I see a lot of people coming out, and with the unemployment rate being low, some of those dream jobs, those jobs you went to school for,
mm-hmm.
aren't available.
Interesting. Okay.
And instead of going out and getting a job while they're continuing to look for
mm-hmm.
Their dream job.
Sure.
I'm seeing a lot of people sitting at home, you know, in mom and dad's basement.
Sure.
So
so instead of finding the stepping stone job or the job that'll just run with it while you're looking for something else, they're just like dream job or nothing.
I mean, that's kind of the way I think that is kind of a lot of people's mindset. And
sure.
Not that they're wrong about that. That's what they've been told.
Sure.
That's what they've been sold.
Okay.
You know, go to school. You said it. Go to school. Get a degree.
Sure.
And, you know, and get a job that you went to school for.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say at 9 years old, like, I'm going to go do all this work, do all this education,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to college, carry on all, you know, carry all this debt.
Sure.
And then graduate, not be able to find a job, and then, you know, clean windows or wash houses
right.
in the interim.
Right.
You know, that's not what you were told
no.
or I was told. So, I mean, me, I like to stay busy. I would want to be out working towards
mm-hmm.
my end goal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think I'm different than a lot of people.
Sure. Totally fair. I can say from, like, I've had a lot of jobs. I've had a lot of jobs, right? Before I started my own business. And I can, like, at the time, I can think of the movie theater. I worked at this movie theater for way longer than I should have. But at the time, I thought, oh, this is just a crappy job, but it's kind of fun. So life goes on. I'll just stick with it. But I look back at how much that I learned from both the manager, other employees. It was a corporation, so just the way that they had systems set up and all this kind of stuff. I think back and, like, I didn't even realize how much I was learning from that place. But I learned a ton. And it was, when you look at it that way, it was a pretty affordable education because I was getting paid for it.
Right.
I was getting paid nothing, but I was still getting paid versus the other way around, right? So I think of other people that are thinking, oh, I'm just going to hang out until I find my dream job. The opportunity cost is an education. You know, they could be learning something at any other job. Like, I drove a concrete truck. Terrible job. Don't recommend that.
Right.
Just liability alone just staggers my mind, right? But you learn so much just in working in, you pick a company, you work there, and you look at how they get stuff done. And though you're doing the job that you're hired to do, you can still observe and see what other people
yep.
are doing. Like, I always wondered, like, why are concrete people so grouchy all the time?
Yep.
And then I had concrete stuck in my chute, and I actually had to go up there and move it. Like, okay, if I had to do this every day.
It was an aha moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can totally understand why you guys are cranky. This
yep.
stuff is heavy.
Yep.
It's hot. It's just There's nothing about this that's entertaining.
James, I think the key word you said there was observant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get a lot out of working any job.
Mm-hmm.
You can get, especially at a young enough age, but really at any age, I mean, people skills, learning how to work with people, learning how to work with different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, and then on top of that, being observant, not only being observant about your task at hand,
right,
and what you're responsible for,
mm-hmm,
but pick your head up. If you know, if you're in business and management, something that might interest you,
sure,
pick your head up once in a while and see what your manager's doing, and
definitely
see how your manager is handling different types of situations.
Right.
You're at an advantage at that point, because if there's a situation involving your manager and a coworker,
mm-hmm,
without getting involved, you can be observant,
right,
of how the situation plays out.
Right.
And then that's your coworker.
Right.
You know, and you're on the level of coworker, not manager coworker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm sure that you're going to get their feedback, or you could ask for their feedback. And
right,
hey, how are you feeling? How that situation was handled.
Right, right.
You know, and that will help you down the road.
Definitely. Definitely. It's interesting because when even outside of being an employee at a place, just going into a store or a restaurant or something like that, you look around and you see how they get stuff done. You just observe that way. It probably annoys my wife to no end. But I think sometimes when you have the choice of either staying inside on the weekend or something like that, or going out, I always prefer to go out. And part of it is because then I can see other people and see how these companies are doing certain things, right?
Yep.
Even if you're just going to a bar for a drink.
Yep.
You're watching the way those bartenders are working.
Yep.
And how the wait staff is interacting with people. What do they do when somebody walks in the door? How are they hustling drinks? How do they even have stuff organized, right?
Yep.
Like, just, it's so weird.
Yep.
How you never shut that off.
No, and you're going to get a kick out of this. And so, you know, I think it's about your mindset. It's about a mindset.
Sure, solid.
It's about a mindset. And you're going to laugh at this, because I had business cards printed up this spring,
okay,
for Clear Vision, that said, hey, I like what I've seen. I might have an opportunity for you if you're interested.
Nice.
Here's our phone number and email address. And that's all the cards said. It didn't have our company logo on it,
okay,
or anything.
Nice. So offer to people that you see,
yeah,
hustling day to day.
Yeah, when I go out to eat,
sure,
you know, or like there's one instance in particular that kind of kicked this idea off of me actually saying, okay, I'm going to get it out of my head.
Nice.
And do something about it. My fiance, daughter, and I were,
yeah,
out to eat, and the service was not good.
Okay.
Our table waiter was.
Okay.
And they brought out they specialize in, you know, burgers and stuff. They brought out two different burgers that wasn't what I ordered.
Oh, no.
And so I'm just watching as our waiter is just getting more and more frustrated.
Sure.
Because he goes back to the kitchen.
Right.
And, you know, oh, we screwed up. Yep, we'll take care of that. Well, who's the one who has to go,
sure,
explain that to the customer?
The messenger
was our
come.
Waiter.
Sure.
So, you know, I watched that transpire, and
mm-hmm,
what I ended up doing is I just wrote down on a bar napkin. I said, "Hey, man, I like," and our meal ended up getting comped.
Nice. All right.
Which I ended up tipping him what the meal cost.
Sure.
Because I appreciated.
Right.
Not the free meal. I appreciated the way he handled the situation.
Sure.
Wrote on a bar napkin. I said, hey, I like the way you handled the situation. I might,
mm-hmm,
have an opportunity for you.
Sure.
Wrote my phone number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it to him as we left. I said, put this in your back pocket. Don't open it until you're clocked out. I just, you know, if you're willing, put this in your back pocket and,
sure,
and look at it after work.
Nice.
And not that I was trying to poach that person.
Right.
But I just wanted to have a conversation, you know, with that person. The time that we were there eating was outside of Clear Vision's mm-hmm. hours of operation.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, looking at those opportunities.
Right.
But
it's interesting that you bring up the poaching thing, because I just want to touch on that a little bit, because I've actually done some poaching for companies.
Good for you.
And I recommend it to my clients, because in the end, most people that you want to hire probably are already working somewhere.
That's just the way it is, right?
Yeah. I hope that they're working somewhere, right? They're not just waiting on the corner for you to pull up in your car and be like, hey, you need a job? And they're like, yeah, sure, I'm the perfect person.
I mean, if they're going to be your number two or three or four, depending on how big your organization is.
Yeah. They got the hustle, so they're already hustling somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because I got accused of trying to poach somebody's employee, and I'm like, yeah, I totally did. Because my employees get poached all the time.
Right.
And if they are not getting poached, then you got a problem.
Right. And so you're getting back to mindset.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want my employees to be good enough
mm-hmm.
to be poach worthy.
Right, right. That somebody else thinks that they're so great, I want them to be working for me.
Right.
If there's any point where somebody's like, no, keep working for James.
Right.
I did something wrong.
Right. But then it gets into the employee culture.
Sure. Huge.
That person is unapproachable if they work for you.
Right.
If they love working for mm-hmm. you. And so getting back to kind of where we started, employment,
mm-hmm.
it takes a ton of effort.
Ton. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think any of my dad or uncles in the 1980s were printing up business cards saying, hey, I like what I see, you know.
They just throw an ad out, 50 people apply.
Right. Or at McDonald's I drive through, you know, just once a week mm-hmm. in the morning, only once.
Okay.
And they stuff their to-go bag with a little flyer. Hey, we're hiring, you know, starting at $11 an hour. And,
yep.
You know, you didn't see that type of stuff.
You got billboards, you got 10, radio 15 ads.
15 years ago, people, you didn't see it.
It's tough for companies to find good people.
It is.
Yeah. It's tough to find bad people. It's much easier, but it's still tough.
Right, right.
Just people in general. Yeah, it's a challenge. It's so funny, the mindset that people have. I'm just thinking of that waiter again, right?
Yep.
Like, how long was he going to stick around there anyways?
Right.
If they maintain that, you're doing everyone in that realm a favor.
Right. I mean, he was telling me how he was going to quit, and, you know, he hated his job, and some of that might have been lip service.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because
was this after the fact? After you gave him the...
No, this was during, you know, this was probably after the first time that he brought a burger out, and I said, this is a mushroom Swiss, and I've never liked mushrooms, so I know I didn't order this.
Sure.
You know, it was in that time period. There was no comped meal or, you know, tip exchanged at that point.
He says, here's the right stuff. I want to quit this job.
Right, and I had never done it before. You know, I didn't have the business cards printed yet, but I had thought about it for maybe a couple years and really had started thinking about it this winter, and I'm like, if I don't take this opportunity right now, why am I thinking about it?
Right.
And if I don't take this opportunity, if I take this opportunity right now,
mm-hmm.
I can go back Monday morning and tell my team about it.
Right.
And tell them, this is why we're getting these cards printed up.
Sure.
And this is why I want each one of you to take 10 or 15 of them.
Oh, nice. You got your team involved.
My management team. Absolutely.
Sure. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, I've probably only handed out a couple.
Sure.
And maybe they've handed out zero.
Right.
But I do know that it's in their car.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've checked.
And they're looking then, right? So now every time they have an interaction with someone, whether it's at a restaurant, bar, or wherever, right? They're thinking, does this guy deserve a card?
Right. And
are they worthy to work for us?
Right. And if somebody just walks into your life that, like, slaps you across the face mm-hmm. where it's like, wow, this person, like, would be great.
Right.
Then you have something, you can take advantage of that opportunity.
Right, right. That is awesome. That's smart. That's cool. I like it. So let's move on. Man, we talk about employees, all kinds of stuff. So you have a fiance?
I do.
Does she have a business, work on her own?
Yeah, she has her own interior design business.
Okay. Has she had that for 10 years?
No, she has not.
Okay.
Just the last couple of years. So that was kind of a transition
okay.
Where her previous place of employment. She had a lot of flexibility.
Sure.
So she kind of bootstrapped herself, started the business.
Okay.
And just this spring went full time with it.
Oh, so way recent.
Yeah. Yep.
So does she get the bug from you, or is that something that she was planning on doing before?
I think she gets the push from me.
Okay.
Whether she likes it or not.
Nice. Okay.
Because
start your business.
It was, right. You know, if it's something you talk about a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it's something like when I hear like, oh, someday,
oh,
or I always want to, or I've always wanted.
Sure.
Like I understand everybody's situation, and that's not to backtrack. That's sure. why I went into business when I was in school. So mm-hmm. I went to school full time and ran this business.
Sure.
So that I had the business grown to the point where I could sustain
smart
myself mm-hmm. coming out of school
mm-hmm.
having this business. Maybe some weeks I only worked 20, maybe some weeks I worked 50, but I had it built up to the point
sure.
where, you know, I could be reliant solely on that income and not need
right.
a part-time job.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, after you hear you know, anyone, man, I want to do this, I want to do this,
mm-hmm.
I want, you know, just do it.
Right.
And that's kind of what I told her. And I said, this is going to sound really cheesy, but Nike, just
right?
do it.
Just do it.
Just stop talking about it.
Right, right.
It's never going to get easier.
No.
You know, but there is a huge, it's a risk. But
right.
if you have the right mindset
mm-hmm.
and you take that risk on,
right,
take it head on,
mm-hmm.
It will work out for you.
Yeah, it's never the perfect time, right?
Never.
Stars aren't going to align. Dragons won't show up with unicorns and rainbows or anything.
Nope.
You just got to decide and go.
Yep.
Go
yep.
actually take some action. So that's super cool. So does she hate you for that now that she started her business? Or?
Not yet. No, okay. She's still in the honeymoon stage.
Oh,
so.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you get it. You get it. That's awesome. It's so magical. I love this. Why didn't I do this sooner?
Just wait.
Yeah, just wait. You'll find
just
out.
Just wait.
You'll find out. So what has been your favorite thing about owning a business?
Carving out, you know, having the opportunity to carve out my own future.
Okay.
My own career.
Sure.
I'm a very competitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about business, when you compare it with sports or
sure.
being a professional athlete.
Sure.
I'm about 5'10",
okay.
give or take.
Sure.
Like 180, give or take.
Sure.
I'm not going to be a professional basketball player.
Not so much.
I'm not going to be a professional football player.
Sure.
I have tendonitis in my elbow, so I'm not going to throw the baseball.
All right.
But, you know, this whole business game,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I'm not 6'4". Those
sure.
are those are God-given talents.
Absolutely.
This game of business is a little different. You mm-hmm. don't need God-given talents like to be 6'4", 245 pounds.
Sure.
What you need is a mindset, a competitive
mm-hmm.
spirit.
Sure.
And you can kind of create. You can be as good as you can, you know,
will allow yourself to be.
Exactly, mm-hmm. James.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's no, you know, it's being a business owner, owning a business doesn't have no care on race or
mm-hmm.
creed.
Right.
You know, male, female.
Sure.
The opportunity is there for everyone.
Absolutely.
And so then at that point, it's about what you do with it. Whether it be limitations or
mm-hmm.
how far you can take it.
Sure.
Really depends on you. And I didn't know a lot. You asked, you know, did you own another business before that? Or no,
yeah.
I just kind of jumped into it
mm-hmm.
and was observant.
Sure.
And had the right mindset.
Right.
And had the competitive edge. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm my own worst critic, and that's probably a fault of mine.
Blessing and a curse, right?
Right.
Like, just imagine if you didn't. You'd be like, oh, everything's great.
Right, right. So, I mean, being able to create your own future and honestly, the last couple of years, like being able to provide a living for other people. And you can argue with me being in the service industry. Well, you know, what kind of living do you provide, this or that?
Sure.
That's, you know, I'm not going to debate anyone on that. What I do know is I play a part in providing the living for 35, you know, individuals, give or take, or, you know, possibly families as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's something that I take a, you should take a lot of responsibility in, and something that I try to every single day, and definitely something that I take, you know, take pride in. I like working around people that are as driven as I am, have kind of the same mindset, and are just happy, you know, happy to have a job and be around and come into work.
Right. I always tell people that pride is expensive, but there's a special pride that comes from being able to sign the front of the check when you're paying all those employees,
Yep, absolutely.
Like, how many people have the stomach to tolerate, because there's going to be good months and bad months, and you can't tell your employees, funny story, we didn't have some clients that paid, so you're not getting paid this month, this two-week period, whatever.
Right.
Your employees, no, it's not legal, you just got to figure out a way.
Right.
Right? And there's not everybody in the world can handle that.
No, I mean, it's very stressful, but if you're observant, you know, you learn from your mistakes. You learn from the successes and failures of others that were before you. And you just try to do the best you can.
Right, right. That's awesome. So speaking of challenges here, what has been the biggest challenge that you've had in business?
I think employment, surrounding myself around the right people. It's actually, it's also, I guess, been a success of mine.
Sure.
But the challenge of that is continuing to surround yourself around the right people.
Sure. It's one of those things that you're never done.
Right.
It's never complete.
Right. I mean, especially if you're looking to grow a business, you always need to be bringing in somebody that can, that's overqualified to fill a support role that you currently need. And, you know, getting those overqualified people to buy in early so you can get them in, you know, to continue using that as a stepping stone for growth is, I guess, what I mean when I say, you know, that's a challenge.
Sure. So when you, I guess, in starting your business, when you first started 10 years ago, are you where you thought you would be now?
I'm further ahead than.
Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely further ahead than what I thought I would be. And I'm a big goal-oriented person.
Okay.
So that was a pretty, you know, pretty proud moment. But I thought, you know, so there was a certain point I wanted to be when I was 30 years old.
Sure.
I'll be 32 this year, so this just all kind of transpired not too long ago.
Sure.
And I hit where I wanted to be at 30 when I was 28.
Oh, very cool.
I thought, and I think maybe I hit where I wanted to be at about 35 when I was 30.
Okay.
So this last year.
Nice. You've been growing at a steeper angle than you expected.
I have been, but keep in mind, I said I'm a competitive person. Sure. I never set.
Sure.
I try to set reasonable goals, but I set goals that are going to keep me up at night if I don't feel I'm doing what I need to do to achieve them.
Right, right.
I thought that it was going to be much more exciting hitting those goals than it was. Like, you know, when I was 22, I'm like, man, if I'm 30 and I can be here, like, that's just, I'm going to be, you know what I mean?
Solved,
like,
all the world's problems.
It's just going to be nuts. Like, that's going to be the best thing ever. And I get there and I'm kind of like,
you know, is this all there is?
Goal achieved.
Sure.
Well noted. But I just love this game. I love the game.
Sure.
And so then it was like, yeah, I achieved this goal, you know, 5 years prior, but I celebrated in my head for about 2 minutes, and then, you know, I was looking down the road of, okay, well, when I am 35 now, if I'm achieving that already, where do I want to be then? That's
sure.
Like, that's right where my head went right away. Cause I just love the game.
Sure. No, that's totally fair. I think it's like, talking to someone about their personal best or personal record, whether it's lifting weights or running track or something like that.
Right.
You are never, ever, ever going to have all of the weight in the world on whatever bar you're lifting.
Right.
You're never going to run a mile in zero. So whatever you have for your record that you're aiming for, you can always do better or aim for better, right?
Right, right.
So I feel like business is the same way, right? Unless you're, you know, I guess a buddy and I were joking when we were talking about Jeff Bezos, his
yep.
net worth.
Yep.
And my buddy's like, you know, there has to be a dollar amount where at that point you win.
Right.
Like $5 billion or $500 billion, whatever it is, just stupid numbers. It's just like at that point, you won.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Maybe you can stop aiming for future growth now because
yeah.
you've hit it where you can actually buy planets kind of
right.
thing or
yeah,
something
that,
like
that's
that.
That's what I said, you know. So then, so instead of worrying about making money so much, then which is, I think, kind of what some of these guys start doing, they start focusing on like, what can get me in the history books?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
how do I make the world a better place with
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Presumably,
exactly.
or hopefully, right?
Exactly.
You can only buy so many Ferraris, right?
Right. You can only drive one.
That's right. That's right. Wisconsin, like 3 days a year. So let's downshift into decision making because you've been in business 10 years, right? You've got 35 employees. You've acquired some businesses. You started out by buying the business. So there has to be some decision making prowess that you've learned or adapted to over the course of time. So would you say that you have any secrets or like if a big decision, let's just say somebody comes to you with a business that you're thinking about buying, is there some process you go through to think of whether to buy it or not? Or if someone comes to you like, hey, I got this new venture, or hey, I want to buy your business or something of that nature. Is there a sequence of events or something that you do to figure out the best way?
Yeah. I mean, first off, I don't have any secrets.
Okay.
And if I had any secrets
sure.
worth calling a secret,
sure,
I wouldn't tell you, James.
Fair.
No, but really,
I try to pry it out of you.
It's. I'll tell you what's my truth.
Sure.
It's definitely not a secret, and mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, what it's worth, but it's what I've done.
Sure.
I've never relied on myself.
Okay.
And I've always, like, back in 2008 when I was 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
I consulted my dad
okay.
a ton
okay.
on it.
Sure.
My dad suggested that I talk to one of his uncles, one of my great uncles who mm-hmm. owned a business.
Nice.
You know, consulted with him.
Sure.
And kind of, you know, early on without realizing it, I was creating a team.
Smart. Very smart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it might have been kind of amateur hour at that point. But like I said, that's why I bought 35%.
Sure.
Not 100% right
sure.
away. And I still go to my dad mm-hmm. about things. Mm-hmm. We have 10 or 11 fleet vehicles.
Okay.
I went to him last summer when I was looking at buying a brand new pickup truck,
sure.
you know, for the company.
Yeah.
But as I've acquired different books of businesses and stuff like that, I have, through progression, I have like a professional team.
Okay.
I talk to and consult with, my CPA.
Sure.
Talk to and consult with my insurance
mm-hmm.
Agent.
Mm-hmm.
I usually try to get some kind of valuation, whether it be through a broker or something mm-hmm. like that. I've done a handful
for your business specifically
when acquiring.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Of business.
Okay.
Yeah. So and as importantly, or most importantly, right up there with the CPA,
mm-hmm.
I have a lawyer
okay.
That has helped me out with every single
sure.
transaction, somebody that I trust. So really, I've built now a team that
perfect
I trust where
mm-hmm.
I'm going to, before I call any of them, I know
mm-hmm.
what I want to see
right.
from you know, the company may be looking to sell me their book of business.
Sure, sure.
So I look through and analyze all of that data before I call anyone. But before the next thing that I do every single time is then start calling, you know, my trusted team of advisors to ask them questions or get their take on what they see the situation looks like. I try to, you know, through numbers and through the right paperwork, have a picture painted of what does this business look like if I'm at 40,000 square feet and now I just bought it, understanding I'm the owner, I'm responsible as any owner would be of that business.
Right.
But what does it look like, you know, when I'm at 40,000 square feet looking down?
Sure, sure. That makes sense. That's awesome. So I also want to talk about just a list of what you do, because I know that's a growing list. So can you chat about the services that you guys offer? Because there's more than window cleaning.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So.
So let's start with that. We got window cleaning.
Yep. Clear on with ClearVision. We offer window cleaning services, pressure washing.
Okay. So it's like pressure washing siding, yeah, sidewalks.
Yeah, a variety of services. Okay. Concrete.
Okay.
Decks, patios, siding. We clean roofs.
Okay.
So like the mold and algae that build up on shingle roofs, you get some black streaking and maybe some moss and lichen building up. We have a low pressure system that we clean that.
Okay.
And then gutter cleaning services.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
All right. That's a healthy gamut. That's got a lot of warm weather work.
Yeah. Yep.
You're celebrating now.
We are.
So I know that you, do you listen to any podcasts or business books or?
Yeah, I do.
Where do you get your inspiration for business from?
Specifically through podcasts or referrals. Are you asking specifically like the type of
If there's type, podcasts? There's some people, like I talk to a lot of people, they like to read. Other people like to listen to books on CD. Others are podcast junkies. And other people are on the verge of, I have a pile of books I bought I never read. I just like to get a feel. Some people actually go to events and stuff like that. Yeah. So I just like to get a feel for where you get your inspiration on the business level.
Okay, yeah. I'm not a huge reader. I'd like to read more than I do, but it's typically when I'm away on vacation. You know, a lot of it being travel time, some relaxing time that I can read.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, I just try to dig into some podcasts or through social media.
Sure.
Watch a lot of short 5-10 minute inspirational clips.
Do you have a favorite podcast besides Authentic Business Adventures?
Yeah. Not really. Okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I listen to podcasts, but I don't have, I'm not like super into the podcast game. Usually it's through a different channel that I end up on a podcast. So there's no real rhyme or reason, but I like high energy type people.
Sure.
So those are, typically the people that I gravitate towards.
Gotcha. So as far as videos on YouTube, are there any that stick out in your head for things that you would recommend people listening to or watching?
I'm a big Dave Ramsey guy.
Sure.
I also like listening to Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay, sure.
He's kind of a high energy guy, but I don't know. I think, in today's day and age, you either pick up a book and read a 200-300-400 page book or you pick up on a podcast or something, and then it's kind of short, short clips through there. So I'm not going to sit down, it probably took me 12 hours to read that book, and I can learn a lot listening to the guests you have on your podcast in just an hour time frame. But if you do that consistently,
right, routinely. Yep.
You know, that's where I kind of pick up on my inspiration.
Very true. Very cool. So you have to recommend some of those to your fiance now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I try to, you know, for right now, just let her make her own business decisions. Sure. I got mine. So.
Sure. That's so funny. Does she work with you in the business at all?
No, she does not.
Okay. Has she ever?
Nope. Anyone who works with their spouse, I give them a ton of credit.
Dude, we've had some people in here that are married or they're partners of some kind outside of the business, and I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
my wife would kill me.
Right. Brittany already wants to choke me because, you know, that's I come home and for the first hour, that's all I'm doing is talking about business.
Sure.
Yep. So, you know, when do you turn that off if you work with your significant
Perfect
other?
Question.
So, and I got lucky because, you know, I'm a fast-paced ADD type personality.
Sure,
high-energy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what my day looks like. Like, I script the night before. I script before I leave the office. I script my next day.
Sure.
To the best of what I'd like it to look like.
Yep.
That's a lot different than what my actual day ends up being every day.
You never
day.
Know what's going to light on fire,
Yeah,
right?
So, like, the honey, where are you going now? It's like, honestly, you just interrupted my, I don't know. I gotta think about it. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, you get a call and you got to go here and then you get pulled there. So I was fortunate because she said, there's no way that I could ever work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, ditto.
That works out.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll see you at night.
Yep.
So how do you relax?
I have a little 3.5-year-old daughter.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
You know, and she's at a great age right now where, I mean, you can go home and just and have a seat, sit down somewhere and play with them or just watch them grow is good enough for me.
Sure.
You know, we like to go out, you know, and
for cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Cheeseburgers when it works. It's funny to say that, but yeah, I mean, just, I like to get outside, do yard work.
Sure.
Maybe take a short walk. Like, I'm not a big hiker or anything like that, but there's so much going on during the day, like in my head and, you know, around me that it's nice sometimes just to put your earbuds in and mow the lawn.
Sure. Sure, that's fair.
I'm one of those guys.
That's I totally don't understand that, but that's totally fair. I like wrenching on cars, so some people don't get that. But the lawn mowing thing, I don't know how lawn mowers can be so loud.
That's why you put earbuds in.
We have cars that have 5 times the engine that can go by without you even noticing. But apparently, we need 150 decibel lawnmower on every lawn. And never at the same time,
right?
So you can't just sit outside and enjoy the peace, right?
Nope.
There's always a lawnmower going on.
Yep. Sundays or Saturdays, Saturday afternoons after a football game or something.
Right. It's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm just like, can't we just have a 2-hour window where everybody's mowing their lawn so that the rest of the time it can be quiet? that's not how that works. What would you recommend in regards to advice, or what advice would you give somebody that was considering starting their own business?
I have a quote that I absolutely love.
All right.
It's on my wall.
Nice.
I had it painted on my wall behind my desk.
Okay.
Success is never owned. It's only rented.
All right.
And the rent is due every day.
Uh-huh. Who's the quote said by? Somebody cool. I don't know.
Me.
You.
No. Honestly, I'm not sure. It gets thrown around. And I don't care who takes credit for it.
Sure.
Whoever said it originally,
right,
that kicks butt.
It's money. Okay.
You know, so my advice is put your head down.
Mm-hmm.
Put your head down and be ready to go to work.
Sure.
It is the most rewarding thing
that
you can ever do if you have the right mindset. And if you put your head down, but while your head's down, charging forward, that you're keeping it up enough to look for and recognize opportunities.
Sure.
And if you have that kind of, mindset and drive, it's hard not to be successful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So did you have to learn that quote, or is that something that you found when you were in college?
I definitely didn't find it while I was in college.
Okay. So would that have changed what you did in business if somebody would have told you that on day one?
No, because the reason I love it so much is because that was my mindset growing up on a farm. My dad being a dairy farmer, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
There's no vacation from the cows.
That was the mindset that was bred into me.
Sure.
So that's part of the reason I love that quote so much is because it's like that. That is my mindset.
Nice.
I just didn't know that it was put in such good words.
Sure. It's clarity. That's awesome. Super cool. So what is next for Clear Vision? Like in another 10 years, where are we going to be?
I see us branching out into other locations.
Okay.
I think that we have...
Still Wisconsin or...?
No, I won't. At this point, I won't put it inside the parameters of the state.
Okay.
Because there's some decent territories around, or, you know, some decent metropolitan areas around outside of the state.
A lot of windows.
And so I see us, you know, looking to try to capture a little bit more of the local market share.
Okay.
And make sure that we have our feet on the ground good. Mm-hmm. Make sure that we're providing exceptional service. I don't care what the service is.
It's, sure.
You know, that we're providing great customer service.
Right.
And expanding from there.
Sure. That's awesome. Huh. That's exciting. So I appreciate you being on the show, Kyle.
Yeah. Thanks for having
this
me, James.
This has been awesome. Lovely. Good time. So Kyle at Clear Vision, really quick, what's your website?
www.clearvisioncleaning.com.
Clearvisioncleaning.com is all one word.
Correct.
Super
and
cool.
And then, the Facility Pros LLC.com is
Facility
another
Pros.
Website.
All right. Very cool. So Facility Pros LLC.com.
Correct.
Awesome. And I bet you have a phone number.
We do. 608-850-3147.
Awesome. And so if there was someone that was super awesome and very good with customer service, they could ring you up and say, hey, man, I'm the person that you need to hire.
I would highly recommend them giving us a ring.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Very cool. You heard it here. All right. Well, thank you, fellow listeners. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, not the annunciators, stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our listeners, and our guest, Kyle Ballweg of Clear Vision Cleaning. Thank you again, Kyle.
Appreciate it, James.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. We can also be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Stay awesome, and of course, enjoy your business.